for Mr. Rose.
If it pleases the court, my name is Ashley Rose. I represent the plaintiff appellant in this case. The case is before the court because the administrative law judge really delivered only a very cursory analysis of the medical evidence in the record and did not apply analytical criteria that have been established by the administration and as well as the precedents that have been established in this court for analysis and rationale leading from the evidence to his or her conclusions. I have suggested in my brief three areas in which these deficiencies have occurred. They basically conform to the sequential evaluation process, and I have indicated in my brief that the ALJ failed to comply with the requirements for making a proper Step 3 determination. He also, I believe, failed to make a similar determination at Step 4, and that his credibility determination did not comply with the commissioner's regulation 96-7P, and also was based upon some misinformation or not particularly falsifying the evidence, but simply ignoring it. On these bases, then, I have suggested that the ALJ's decision should be reversed and that the case be remanded to the agency for further workup.
He's returned to Italy, hasn't he?
He went to Italy to live, and he's as a matter of fact, he's returned to the United States
okay,
now.
That's all good. Yeah. As a matter of curiosity, it doesn't affect the outcome of the case. I was just curious.
Correct. He did have some medical attention in Italy. That's one of the reasons he went back there, was because he could get medical attention free. He didn't have that same option here in the United States. And there is, in the supplemental record, there is a translation of the Italian examination doctor.
I didn't. It wasn't a matter of significance to the case. It was my curiosity as to whether he would return. Thank you.
Yes, he's back here, but he is not working. I think that unless there are any questions, that I would waive any further argument at this point.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ross.
Thank you.
Ms. Siegel?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Catherine Siegel. I represent the Commissioner of Social Security in this case. This case involves a claimant for disability, for Social Security disability benefits. A back injury, which occurred in 1998, is the basis for his disability claim, and that occurred at work when he was 25 years old. He worked for about 3 years before the back injury occurred, and so he's only insured for a very short period of time under disability insurance benefits until June 30th of 2000. So that's the relevant period that's before the court in its de novo review of the ALJ's decision. This case is rather unique because we have a treating back surgeon who, after he performed the back surgery for his patient, said that the claimant had recovered enough that he could return to a level of work that involved lifting 50 pounds, and he characterized that as medium to heavy work. The physical therapist who also evaluated this claimant's condition said that he was capable of light work, and this was when they recognized that he had not even put forth a full effort. So even without a full effort, he was capable of light work. We also have an orthopedic specialist who looked at him, Dr. Stamlos, and he said that the claimant was capable of light to sedentary work. So the ALJ's decision here, which was that the claimant was capable of light work with a sit-stand option, is clearly supported by these physicians and physical capacity evaluators. And the ALJ's decision, in fact, cites to each of these reports in its decision. In his decision,
does he cite to the evidence favorable to the petitioner?
Yes, he does. He does. He talks about Dr. Sadik, who saw the claim. It was a consult examiner after the date last insured had expired, he talks about the claimant's allegations also. He talks about the things that the claimant says he cannot do, the need to lie down and things like that. So he does cite to the claimant's allegations as testimony, and he does cite to some reports that are less favorable, although even Dr. Sadik found that the claimant had normal neurological findings. In fact, in this case, there's very little that shows that the claimant's allegations have any merit at all. The majority of the evidence shows that the claimant can go back to work, and in fact, Mr. Rosa said he actually has gone back to work.
Well, what about problems like his inability to walk on his heel and the fact that he had numbness and had sciatica and so on? What did the ALJ do with those facts?
The ALJ looked at the entire record. There were reports from the treating physician, Dr. Levin, that he had normal, unassisted ability to walk. So the claims of numbness in his legs would be balanced against the objective findings from the treating back surgeon that he actually was able to
walk. Levin said that he had difficulty walking on his heel.
But the doctor also said that he was capable of going back to a medium to heavy range of work. And in other reports found...
Well, but the ALJ wouldn't have even reached that issue if he had applied the listing, wouldn't he? Right.
The ALJ...
He's supposed to look at the listing first before he looks at anything else?
He did. He looked at the listing and...
Well, he didn't mention the listing, did he?
Not the specific 1.04A, but he did say that...
It's not a problem because he didn't... Wouldn't he have had to consider that heel business and numbness and so on?
The ALJ cited to a state agency physician's opinion that the claimant did not meet a listing.
Discuss the listing, say the listing requires A, B, and C, and they are not present here.
The claimant at the hearing did not put forth any additional evidence from a treating physician or from any other consulting physicians that he met a listing that wasn't... It wasn't put before the ALJ as a specific issue for 1.04A. We have the state agency physician opinion here that's uncontradicted, and the Sheck case suggests that where we have a situation that the listing is not put forth before the administrative law judge in a very specific way, and where we have uncontradicted evidence.
Are you saying he waived a listing argument? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that he waives a listing argument, Your Honor, because the Sims case clearly indicates that you don't waive issues at the administrative level by not raising them. And here we did not claim that there was any waiver of the issue, but it's a question of practical articulation expected from the ALJ. When you look at a situation like we have here, where we have a state agency physician that is uncontradicted, hasn't been any reason
entirely on. Aren't you on what these doctors said about his ability to lift and walk? Their conclusions, rather than on their diagnosis of specific.
When you look at the listing, Your Honor, the listing, it talks about the disorder, the herniated nucleus pulposus, but it also talks about the neurological factors. And here we have no muscle weakness. There is no evidence of muscle weakness. We have full muscle strength throughout the record. We also have no reflex loss, which is another thing that's required by the listing. And the claimant doesn't have any motor loss. There's a normal ability to walk, and the motor loss is also required by the listing. So there are very important objective findings that are absent in order to meet that listing.
What were the objective findings that he didn't have any pain and didn't have the pain he described?
That would be part of the credibility analysis that the administrative law judge did.
I understand that, but did the ALJ cite any objective findings?
I don't think the ALJ was saying that he had no pain. He clearly was recognizing there was some pain in limiting him to light work with a sit-stand option. That's clearly a much more reduced range of work than what the claimant was performing before he injured his back. So it's a question of degree and a question of crediting the pain to some degree, but not to a disabling degree. So it is.
Well, that's why I said, what's the objective evidence that there
what's
was
the objective
not
evidence?
That level of pain to make him disabled?
We do look to the evaluators. We look to the doctors who treated the claimant and who evaluated the claimant and who have an expertise in this area, and they treated his back pain, so they would be able to gauge what the objective factors like no muscle weakness and the neurological, the lack of a neurological disorder.
Didn't the Health
plays
South
into their evaluation.
Health South records indicate weakness?
Health South was the physical capacity evaluation that was done by the physical therapist, and they concluded that even with the pain and even with the degree of limitation that the claimant was alleging, he was light.
Weakness?
They said he could still do light work, though.
Did they find weakness?
Did they find weakness? They found weakness to the degree that they limited him to light work instead of heavy.
Weakness. Wouldn't that be muscle loss?
No, there was no there was no muscle atrophy.
What would be the source of the weakness?
It could be subjective. And they were saying that he was.
What does that mean?
That means that the claimant was holding back. He was not giving his full effort. That's what they said. They said he was not giving full effort.
So they didn't think he had any weakness in his.
They thought he could do more.
No, that's not my question. Did they think he had some weakness in his legs or that it was purely simulated?
In their report, they felt that he didn't give a full effort.
You're not answering my question, which is very simple.
Whether they thought he had weakness in his leg?
Yes.
I don't think they thought he had objective weakness in his leg.
So that's your position, that they thought any weakness was just because he wasn't trying. Is that what you're saying? That's your characterization of their records?
I would have to look directly at the physical therapy report again, though. But they said that the claimant was holding back.
You keep repeating yourself. That's not my question.
I do not believe they found objective weakness, no. I think they thought, and overall the ALJ decision does reflect a consideration of all the important evidence in the record, and the decision is supported by substantial evidence and it should be affirmed.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ross?
Pardon me. The administrative record is the document that the ALJ must utilize to render his decision. It is his responsibility to make the decisions. It is not the responsibility of the physicians at the DDS level or for anybody else to make those decisions for him. One of the appellant's positions is that there is a very major fundamental inconsistency in the record that the ALJ did not address and leaves the record ambiguous. And so as a consequence, the...
What's the strongest evidence that the ALJ didn't mention?
I think the strongest evidence is the fact that Dr. Stamoulos, one of the treating physicians, noted a great deal of scar tissue and what he called fibrosis that had been developing post-surgery. In fact, I believe that even Dr. Levin's records indicated through an MRI that there was some scar tissue developing post-surgery. post-surgery. And, of course, the scar tissue and the fibrosis would be a major source of pain, even though there may be other reasons to discount the pain, but that is a major source of pain, and the ALJ did not treat that. He didn't resolve the issue between Dr. Levin, who talked about the ability of Mr. Ribaudo to work at the medium slash heavy level, whereas Dr. Stamoulos said the sedentary slash light level. Neither one of these doctors is a vocational expert, and neither one of them pretends to be expert in Social Security regulations. So that I think in that respect, the ALJ had the responsibility to fit the evidence into the commissioner's policies as expressed in the regulations. And as a consequence, he did not make a full analysis based upon the regulation number 404.1529, which requires not only the medical evidence, but also other evidence, such as the claimant's own testimony, any other testimony that might be presented by witnesses, and then the written record that the claimant had already presented. Those things were not addressed by the administrative law judge. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you to both counsel. Next case for argument, Alloy.